we will get a date set for her baptism, and I want to encourage our new sister to always walk with the Lord. You know, we're going to spend our time here on the earth doing something, aren't we? I mean, everybody will pass the time of their sojourn here one way or another. However long it lasts, we're going to do something while we're here. And there's nothing better that anybody can do with their time on earth than live for the Lord. I'd like to ask you to read with me, if you would, today, from the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. I'd like to begin reading there with verse 17. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And just in brief summary, if you go back to the beginning of this chapter, Luke chapter 10, you'll find out that this, what I'm about to read, was something that took place after that the Lord had sent out the 70. And in verse 17, it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." And I would like to take from the 20th verse where I read from Luke chapter 10, where Jesus told the 70 that when they returned and began to relate to him all the things they had experienced, and Jesus told them that while they were out, that he had had an even greater revelation than what they had had, that he had witnessed even more spectacular things than they had, when they came back and said, Lord, the devils are subject to us through your name. And the miracles that they had witnessed, the Lord told them that while they were out, he had beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. But he said, I don't want you to rejoice so much in these things as I do want you to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And my title today is, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. And that certainly ought to be the very height of the Christian's rejoicing. What ought to bring joy to our hearts above everything else in the world is that we have a home in heaven. You know, there are things in the Lord's work that I have enjoyed I mean, I have really enjoyed through the years. I enjoy when the Spirit of God moves upon my heart. I enjoy trying to preach God's Word. I mean, when God is helping me and I can feel His Spirit and He begins to grant liberty and things begin to flow from God, there's no place I'd rather be than trying to preach His Word. But you know, I believe that there are things that we all enjoy, but just as Jesus told us and taught His disciples here in this passage, that the greatest thing of all is that we're written in the book of life. Our names have been recorded in the book of life. And you could say, well, you could ask me today to explain that to you, and I just tell you I can't. I mean, people have asked, well, what name? What name is it that's written there? When I was saved, did he write down Jerry Miller or did he write down Paul Elmore? You know, what name was it? Did he write down your proper name here on the earth when you got saved? Well, I confess to you today, I don't know what God wrote down. And I don't view it necessarily as being a literal book. But I'll tell you what, I do know that the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knows those that are His. And in that way, our names are written in heaven, and God is never, never going to forget one of His children. God was there when He saved my soul. God knows the exact moment that He saved my soul. God knows the very hairs of my head are numbered. God knows everything about me. And you know, if something happens to me later in life, and we never know what will happen to us, if something happens to me later in life where I completely lose my sanity, God will still know what took place that day, won't He? God won't forget it. Our names are written in heaven, and we have a sure and steadfast seal of that. It seems that I never get to preach this very much. But when the Lord moves upon my heart, I really enjoy studying about and trying to preach about heaven. And I hope today to share some things with you that will be a help to you. And I want to say this, if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to think with me as we look into the message today, and I want to issue a plea to you today. Sinner friend, don't miss heaven. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. A few years ago, I was elected to preach the doctrinal sermon before the Bethel Association at Bethel Church there in Indiana, in Indianapolis. And the Lord burdened my heart to preach this message, and I preached there a message entitled The Doctrine of Heaven. And there was a statement that the Lord impressed upon my heart in that message, and I would like to share that with you today. And these are three things, three of the many, but these are three things that I believe about heaven that I would like to establish here in this message this morning. That is that heaven is a real place. It's not just a state of conscious bliss. It is a real place. The Bible tells me in the 25th chapter of Matthew, when that great day of judgment comes and God divides the saved from the lost, the sheep from the goats, and He places the lost, the goats on the left hand and the sheep on the right, that He will say unto the sheep or the saved on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heaven is a real place. It's a place that has been prepared for the saved by grace. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. And nobody, and I want you to understand this today very plainly, nobody gets to heaven without being truly saved. Nobody. God knows the names of all His children, and they are all recorded in the book of life, and none of them will be forgotten, and nobody will ever get there without their name being written in the book of life. The Bible says, once again, that heaven is a kingdom prepared for those saved by grace. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And it goes on and it tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And you see, God did not prepare hell for human habitation. He didn't. He prepared it for the devil and his angels, because it's not God's intent for any to ever dwell eternally in hell. But the Bible also tells us in the 20th chapter of Revelation, I believe it is, that whosoever is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And so, God would desire today that everybody that's ever born into the world would live one day in His beautiful heaven. And I'm going to tell you something today, friends, and you can have your heart's desire. I don't know your heart. I know I've got my heart's desire. And heaven is, and the thought that I'm going there, and sometimes I believe we can lose reality of it. I mean, we get busy. We live sometimes in this rushed, life that we have, this lifestyle that we seem to have, that we just go 100 miles an hour, and I believe sometimes that we lose sight of reality. But, sometimes I stop and I think that it really hits me. Brother Doss, that I really am going to get to go there. I mean, it's really going to happen for all of us that have been saved. And we're going to experience the joys of heaven before we know it. I mean, if you're here today and you're 12 or 13 years old and you've been saved by God's grace, you're going to experience the joys of heaven before you know it. We're closer than we think, because our lives are slipping by very, very quickly. And we're much closer, all of us, we're much closer to eternity than what we think. We're closer to the day that we're going to lay down and die than what we really realize oftentimes. But if you've been saved and you know where you're headed, that's all right, isn't it? There have been times in my life that I've got so anxious to go to heaven that I just couldn't hardly stand it. I mean, there have been times when I really begin to stop and think about it and meditate about it and think of what it's really going to be like and the things that I'm going to experience there, that I've just looked towards heaven and said, "Oh Lord, hasten the day that I'll get to go and be there." But I know that we have a purpose in this world. And I know that God, wants to use us. I know that God still wants to use me today, and He still wants to use you today, because if He didn't, I believe He would have already taken us. And God has a purpose for us being here. But the joy of the thought that one day I'll walk the streets of God's blessed kingdom has kept me going through many things in my life. It has sustained me in my ministry. It has sustained me in times when I've been sick. It has sustained me in times when I have been lonely, and times when I have been depressed over things. Because, friends, listen, there's a lot of trouble in this life, isn't there? Man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble, and we all have trouble in our lives. And, you know, for those that say that they never have any trouble, they're just, they're closing their eyes and trying to deny it because we have trouble. But the thought of heaven, and I believe that those of us that are saved, the Bible teaches us that we are to be heavenly minded people. We are to set our affections, Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we are to seek heavenly things. We are to seek heavenly thoughts. We are to seek after heavenly visions. And I believe if we lose sight of that, then we'll get bogged down in the world and we'll eventually reach the point where we're not any good to God. We're not able to serve Him the way that we should, because what happens when the people of God look away from heaven and we look away from heavenly things? We begin to look to the world. The world catches our eye. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I'm not at home here. And if you've been saved, you're not at home here. And I'm afraid sometimes we get to where we feel like we're too much at home here. We need to be like those in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it said that they were seeking a better country, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, because He hath prepared for them a city. And it said if they had been mindful of where they came from, if they would have thought upon where they came from, then they would have sought opportunity to return to that. But they confessed, they embraced this very view, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How about it? How do you feel on the earth? I want to say this, that for the children of God, if you feel at home here on the earth, then something's not right. Because you ought to feel like a stranger here. You ought to feel like a pilgrim here on the earth. And we ought to know that while we are here, that we are not at home. According to what Paul wrote in the Philippian letter, he said that he had found himself in a strait betwixt two, or between two things. Paul said, I'm in somewhat of a dilemma here because I have got a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Think about it today. You know, let me ask you to do this today. Ask God to help you today to open your spiritual imagination and think about it. Think about just, you know, at this very moment, think about just dropping this robe of flesh. Think about just laying aside this corruptible body that our saved souls are housed in. Think about just laying it down and going home to be with God and stepping into His presence there in heaven. I'll promise you this. No matter how hard you imagine it today, no matter how much you think about it, no matter what kind of vision that you have of heaven while you're here on earth, when you get there, when we get there, it's gonna be better than what you've ever thought about. I mean, it's gonna so far exceed any imagination that you've ever had about it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It has not entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. I know one thing about heaven that's the main attraction of all, is that when I get there, I'm going to see the one that saved me. I'm going to see Him. You know, the very height of my expectations of my whole existence, The thing that I anticipate, the thing that excites me the most about my whole existence is that one day before long, I'm going to see the Lord Jesus face to face. I'm going to get to see the one that I've preached about. I'm going to get to see the one that I know spoke peace to my soul. I'm going to behold him there in all of his glory. And you know, in the Revelation, when God opened up and gave John that beautiful vision that he did in that Revelation, if you look, I believe it might be the fifth chapter of the Revelation, and if that's not right, I'll find it for you because I know it's there. But I believe in the fifth chapter, you'll find there that one of the things that John saw in that was he saw a throne, and there was one that sat on it. And I'll tell you what, there's only one that occupies that throne. Heaven is a real place. And it has real inhabitants. Real inhabitants. And they're all real happy. There are people that I have known in this life. I sat down with them and talked with them. I attended church with them. I rode in a car with them. I worshiped with them. Prayed with them in their houses. Prayed with them in other places. Sat down from time to time and enjoyed a meal with them. And just good old hospitality and fellowship that are not here anymore. I don't see them anymore. They're not walking among us anymore. And many of them that I've known and loved in this life have been gone for years. And I wonder, you know, and I think about them. And I envision the time. Oftentimes I envision in my mind the time that we'll get to be together again. I'll tell you what, friends, many of you, no doubt here on the earth, have attended reunions. Maybe you've attended a family reunion, or maybe you've attended a class reunion. I think eventually people reach the point where they don't want to tell how many years they've been out of school or what reunion it is. But, you know, maybe you've been to all sorts of reunions in your life. But friends, listen, there's going to be a reunion beyond this world one day. There's going to be a reuniting or a reunion in heaven that's going to be like nothing that you've ever been to. I may have told the church this. I don't know if I have or not. Man, I had a grandpa that I loved so much. I mean, I just loved that man. I think as much as I've ever loved anybody in the world, I loved him. I know we have a special love for our children. We have a special love for our spouses, but I just had a special love for that man. I believe God gave it to me. And I don't know how many times. I want you to understand something here today. I'm not trying to stir up emotions. I want you to know how good God is. I don't know how many times, especially when he got older, he passed by me in a handshake in church service. I would go sometimes and preach in the church where he was a member, or sometimes would have occasion to visit the church where he was a member. And I just don't know how many times that he passed by me in a Christian handshake, and he had big, strong hands and a big, deep bass voice, and he would come by and he would shake hands with me, and tears would just be streaming from his eyes, and he would look at me and he would say, Jerry, we're going to a better place. And that just always seemed to be on his mind, that he was going to a better place. And he seemed like the older that he got, it seemed like the more he talked about it, that he was going to a better place. And, you know, he lived to be 80 years old. And when he began to die, he was in the hospital there in Indianapolis. And friends, listen, I didn't intend to say this today, but I'm just going to follow the Lord. He was there in the hospital in Indianapolis when he began to die. And laying there in his hospital bed, he began to sing. Imagine that. Laying there dying, he began to sing. And we were about 5 hours away. I was helping a church, preaching at a church in right on the Illinois-Missouri border. And before I got there, he died. But my mother was with him when it happened, and she told me about it. And she said he began to sing. And she said he began to sing old hymns that I never even heard. And he just laid there in the hospital bed singing. And the door was open, and my mother said it got so powerful that when the nurses would walk past his room going up and down the corridor, that they were crying. I mean, they just walked by there and break down in tears when they heard this old saint's voice singing praises to God. And one of the last things that he said to her was, he said, "My life here on earth is almost finished. But God has blessed me with a good long life, and I'll soon be in a better place." And shortly after that, he just closed his eyes in death and went home to be with God. And friends, you know, I've had a prayer on my heart for a long time, and you can help me pray for it. You can pray for me as well, because I've had this prayer on my heart for a long time. You know, God, as long as I live, help me to honor you with my life. But there's something that the Bible tells me that I've got to do one time, and I've got a desire to do it well. I have prayed and asked God, when it comes my time to die, help me to do it well. Help me to do it like a child of God. Help me to just lift up my voice, whatever the circumstances may be, if I get the opportunity to do that. Lord, help me to just lift up my voice and praise you, and let those that are around me know that I'm going home to be with the Lord. When I was 18, in 1973, the Lord spoke peace to my wearied soul, saved me, and wrote my name in the book of life. And I hold a natural citizenship in the United States of America. I'm a citizen. I'm a U.S. citizen. And I'm thankful for that. I mean, I know that, you know, we're blessed by being that. We're blessed by living in a country. And we talked about it in Sunday school this morning that, you know, there are some things that we need to do. We need to step up to the plate and let our voice be known that the good things that we have enjoyed here in this country will remain among us. But nevertheless, I'm still thankful to be a citizen of the United States. But Paul wrote in the Philippian letter, and he told them that our conversation, which meant our citizenship, is in heaven, from which we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto according to His glorious body. So I've got a much greater citizenship than what I've got here in the United States of America, friends. I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I'm an heir. And those of you that are saved are heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ Himself. I don't know what all of you today are experiencing. You may have something that's really troubling you. You may have something that's really hard. You may have situations in your life that are hard to handle. Sometimes life is hard to handle, isn't it? And the only way we can handle it is through the help of God. But I want to tell you something. If you'll lean on the Lord, He'll help you to get through it. And before too long, those of us that are saved will lay it aside. And heaven is a land that is free from the things that have afflicted us here on the earth. It's completely free from those things. It's a land that John said, God will wipe every tear away from their eyes. And he said there will be no death, and there will be no sorrow, and there will be no crying, and there will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And we're going to experience death here on the earth. We're going to experience the death of those around us. We're going to experience death ourselves. But in heaven, there is no more death. Heaven is truly the land of the living. There's no graveyards in heaven. There's no funeral homes in heaven. There's no hospitals to visit in heaven. There's nobody there that's sick. You know, my earthly father died of cancer. And thank God that he was saved by God's grace. And, you know, when he died and he went through a horrible ordeal and through, horrible pain. But during the 18 months that he suffered with cancer before his death and when he passed away, that was one of the first things that came to my mind was he won't have any more sickness. Friends, listen, there's no hurting in heaven. No pain of any kind. I've seen people in this world that I just felt so bad for. You see, I think pain can be even worse than physical. I've seen people suffer with such anguish, such emotional pain. I mean, I've seen people with such broken hearts over things that your heart just bleeds for them. And when I think about that, there'll be no kind of pain in heaven. There won't be any emotional pain. There won't be any spiritual anguish. There won't be any physical pain. There won't be any kind of pain in heaven. Nobody there will ever be plagued by it ever again. There won't be anybody lame. I got a soft spot for children in my heart. And I confess before you today that I've had to turn my head away at times. I know one thing, if you ever walk through the children's ward in a hospital, someplace like Riley Hospital there in Indianapolis, you ever walk through that and just take a look around at what's there, you'll go home and you'll grab your healthy little kids up and hug them and kiss them and thank God for them. I've had to turn my head away before in tears because of seeing little children that are crippled, you know, having just their legs not working, and it just grieves my heart at some of the things I see here. But you know, it seems like that the more and more that I see that, the more and more I think about a time that, thank God there's a land out there just a breath away that we will never experience the vision of those things ever again. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody. I'm glad I'm going. I know that all of my troubles, all of my trials, and I don't know about you, but this helps me to bear them down here. I know all of the things that I face. I've gotten through them many times, by just simply stopping for a moment, a time of reflection, and a time of thought, and saying, I know that every trial that I've ever had, every heartache that I've ever faced, every trouble that I've ever experienced, one day, before long, I'll lay it all down outside of the gates of heaven, and I'll never know it again. Never again. Rejoice. Jesus said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I'm going to read some scripture to you here. From the last chapter of Revelation, chapter 22, beginning with verse 1, and I'd like to read just a few verses of scripture. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. There are people in the world today that say that you can't know. Folks, on this day, Sunday, March 5th, 2006, at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, I declare before you today that I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that my name is recorded there. I know that I'm going to see it. I know that I'm going to be in that everlasting kingdom that God has prepared for His people. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, for we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And he said, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And our desire is not to be naked, but our desire is to be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And it's not having a death wish, it's having a life wish. It's not a desire to be dead, it's a desire to live. You see, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And my soul is living, and it's going to live eternally. And I know that just the very moment that this earthly life is over, the very moment that this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, I've got a building of God eternal in heaven. I've got a citizenship there. And someday soon, I'm going home. I'm going home, folks. I'm just going home. I believe that's what death is to the Christian. We're just going home And that's all. That's all that it is. We're going home, but that's exactly what it is. We're going home to be with the Lord. Lost friend, don't miss heaven. There's only one way to get there. You've got to come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. You've got to be born again to get there. You must be born again. The only way that anybody makes it is by being saved by God's grace. Here shortly, Lord willing, we'll baptize Sister Tammy, but that's not what's going to get her to heaven. And water baptism never will and never has gotten anybody to heaven. You must be born again. If not, you're going to miss that land and you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I can tell you one thing. I can tell you one thing for sure about what heaven will be. The seventh chapter of Revelation makes it very plain to me. One thing that I know for certain that we'll do in heaven is we will worship. We'll worship. The Bible talks about a number that no man can number, gathered around the throne there, worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord, without any hindrance of time. It says day and night, but there won't really be night there. That's just a way of telling us that we will worship there without any hindrance of time whatsoever. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine just going to a continual prayer meeting, a continual worship service, just going there and worshiping the Lord and singing, and nobody will ever turn around and say, oh my goodness, it's 20 after 12. It's time to go home. We'll be home. Nobody will ever be hindered by having to be carted off to the hospital or anything. We won't have any reason to leave the throne. No reason at all. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. That's my message today. I hope and pray that it will help you in some way. If you're here today, for those that are here today and have been saved, I hope it'll help your hearts to rejoice in the Lord. If you're here and you're lost, I hope it'll warn you to flee the wrath to come. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. It's going to be spectacular. It's the land of my dreams. I wish I could tell you more about what it's like. But you're just going to have to wait and see. Just going to have to wait and see. I'd like to close with this. For all of my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'll see you there. See you there. Let's have a song. Let's stand and have a song together.